The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all. They would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God." First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, "This is a covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest, a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Will the congregation please rise for the assurance of pardon? Brothers and sisters, as we just heard from God's Word, our Lord promised to put His law in our hearts and to write it on our minds. And this is a gracious and powerful act which the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit does this through the Word, through our hearing of it. So let's hear from the Lord, hear His Word read from John 15, verses 12 to 27. John 15, 12 to 27. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you: no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to Him now in the privilege we have in Christ Jesus, praying for the Spirit's blessing on the reading, the proclamation, and the hearing of His Word. Will you pray with me? O God Almighty and our Father in heaven, we rejoice to be in Your presence this day for worship. We rejoice, Lord, for Your calling upon us out of our sin, out of our death and misery. You call us, Lord, to life, which Christ purchased for us on the cross, when He rose from the dead, and when He ascended to Your right hand. Father, thank You for this day where we can rest from our labors, and we can worship You in spirit and in truth. We thank You for speaking to us in Your Word, and we pray for Your Spirit's blessing upon the service, that what we hear by faith. We pray that You would open our ears, open our minds, our hearts, our souls to You, Lord, so we may know You more, that we may love You more, and then go forth from this house and serve You more. Lord, You are our portion, and we have promised to keep Your words. We sought Your favor with all our hearts. We pray, O Lord, You be gracious to us according to Your word. We considered our ways, and we turned our feet to Your testimonies. We hastened, and we did not delay to keep Your commandments. The cords of the wicked have encircled us, but we have not forgotten Your law. At midnight we shall rise to give thanks to You because of Your righteous ordinances. We are a companion to those who fear You and of those who keep Your precepts. Lord, we rejoice that the earth is full of Your loving kindness. So at this time, Lord, we pray that Your Spirit will teach us Your statutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear from the Lord our God, let's prepare our souls by singing joyfully to Him. Will you stand together and let us sing? Our sermon text this morning is taken from 1 Kings 22, verses 1 to 28. Kings 22, 1 through 28, brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. For 3 years there was no war between Aram and Israel. But in the third year, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went down to see the king of Israel. The king of Israel had said to his officials, "Don't you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us, and yet we are doing nothing to retake it from the king of Aram?" So he asked Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to fight against Ramoth-Gilead?" Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, "First seek the counsel of the Lord." So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, about 400 men, and asked them, "Shall I go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" "Go," they answered, "for the Lord will give it into the king's hand." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of?" The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, "There is still one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah." "The king should not say that," Jehoshaphat replied. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, "Bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, at once." Dressed in their royal robes, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor by the entrance of the gate of Samaria, with all the prophets prophesying before them. Now Zedekiah, son of Kenaah, had made iron horns, and he declared, "This is what the Lord says, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed." All the other prophets were prophesying the same thing. "Attack Ramoth-Gilead and be victorious," they said, "for the Lord will give it into the king's hand." The messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, "Look, as one man the other prophets are predicting success for the king, let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what the Lord tells me." When he arrived, the king asked him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" "Attack and be victorious," he answered, "for the Lord will give it into the king's hand." The king said to him, "How many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Then Micaiah answered, "I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These people have no master. Let each one go home in peace.'" The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Didn't I tell you he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad?" Micaiah continued, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the host of heaven standing around him on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there?' One suggested this and another that. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' 'By what means?' the Lord asked. 'I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets,' he said. 'You will succeed in enticing him,' said the Lord. 'Go and do it.' So now the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster for you." Then Zedekiah, son of Kenaanah, went up and slapped Micaiah in the face. "Which way did the spirit from the Lord go when he went from me to speak to you?" he asked. Micaiah replied, "You will find out on the day you go to hide in an inner room." The king of Israel then ordered, "Take Micaiah and send him back to Ammon, the ruler of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, 'This is what the king says, put this fellow in prison and give him nothing but bread and water until I return safely.'" Micaiah declared, "If you ever return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me." Then he added, "Mark my words, all you people." May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of His holy and infallible Word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are concluding a sermon series we have done on discipleship and discipleship growth. In these last 3 weeks, we've covered different stages disciples go through. The first stage covered the developmental stage, the beginning stage, where disciples are to accumulate knowledge, where to grow in knowledge and understanding. And this stage is for the immature. This stage is for those who need basic understanding of the faith. So when you think about the first stage, think about knowledge, you think about children or new believers, converts to the faith. The second stage, which we heard last Lord's Day, is the stage of wisdom. This is for the mature. Once someone matures in knowledge and understanding, they grow up, they are ready to rule. For by wisdom kings reign. Wisdom from God is for ruling. Wisdom is for judging. One needs wisdom to be able to discern good and evil. Now in these first two stages, we see different roles that God's people carry out. We see two aspects in these first two roles. Two aspects of Christ's role as our priest, king, and prophet. The first role, knowledge, basic understanding, straightforward truths of the faith, that is the priestly stage. God's people, all of us, are called to be priests. Jesus is our high priest. And in the scriptures, what governs the priests? Law. Priests function under law. They function by clear, straightforward, basic commands. They obey strict commands so that they may grow up. They may grow up in knowledge. If you go through the law, the first five books of the Bible, if you read specifically the book of Leviticus, the instructions are clear. Not much extra thinking was required to be a priest in the tabernacle and later the temple. Put the animal on the altar. Skin it. Cut it up. Sprinkle the blood. Set it on fire. Straightforward commands, basic knowledge and understanding. Not much room for leeway. And the Lord taught the priest, who then taught the people with the law. He said, "This is how you worship me. basic, straightforward commands, knowledge. And this is how we teach our children. Tie your shoes this way. Wipe your nose that way. Don't touch this, don't put that in your mouth. Straightforward, basic commands. Priests, basics, taught knowledge by law. The second stage, the kingly stage, is applied wisdom, applied knowledge, for as mentioned, kings function by wisdom. Solomon demonstrated wisdom by going to God as the source of wisdom. Solomon says, I'm young and immature, I need wisdom. I'm going to God. I'm asking God for it. So we have priest, law, king, wisdom, and now the last stage, prophet. The third and final stage of development for God's people is called the prophetic stage, the stage of the prophet. Now you might ask, doesn't make sense. Why is prophet after king? You think king is as high as you can get. Why does God go from priest to king to prophet rather than priest, prophet, king? I know you're all thinking that right at this moment, right? But there's much more to the role of prophet than meets the eye. The prophets in Scripture did a lot more than bring messages of repentance to God's people, though that was an important part of their role. Now, the first explicit example of a prophet in Scripture was Father Abraham. God called Abraham a prophet in Genesis 20. When Abimelech, the king of Gerar, tried to steal Abraham's wife, he tried to steal Sarah from him, God intervened, and he told Abimelech, restore the man his wife. Give her back to him. For he is a prophet, and he will pray for you. Abraham is a prophet. He will pray for you. Prophets pray, and prophets pray for others. God called Abraham a prophet, and he spoke of these prophetic privileges that prophets can go directly to God in prayer. And this pertains in a great and important way to that third role for God's people. Prophets get to pray to God. Prophets get to pray to God. Now, if that seems small to you, if you're thinking, big deal, everybody can pray, perhaps it may be that way because we don't regard prayer highly enough. We don't think of that privilege as divinely given, as a gift from God that we can approach Him in prayer. So we as God's people, we need to see the significance of prayer, the value, and the great grace God gives us in prayer. Prayer is the privilege to approach the holy throne of God. We, imperfect people, get to approach the holy throne of God in prayer. We get to approach Him to communicate with Him. We get to talk to God Almighty, the one who created heaven and earth, and the one who upholds all things. We get to talk to Him. In the beginning, Adam and Eve, they lost perfect union and communion with God because of the fall into sin. And then they were exiled out of the garden, out of His presence. They lost that. By His mercy, He now welcomes us back. He allows us back to speak to Him. And not only that, He graciously calls us to do this. You think about God's commands. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He says, pray to me. Pray unceasingly. So not only is it a privilege, it's also something we're required to do. Not only do you have to do it, but it's tremendous grace. You have to do it, but He'll bless you through it. Prayer. We get to pray to God. Let me pause there and have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. All right, good job. Can I see your eyes? Can I see your eyes, please? Paige, thanks. Eyes? Good job. The Lord be with you. Who can raise your hand and tell me, what have I been talking about the first half of the sermon? you guys know I'm going to ask you this every time. Evan? Prophet, priest, and king. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of prophets before. Prophets. Okay, some of you have. You can put your hands down. Basically, the second half of the Old Testament of our Bibles, you can put your hand down. The second half of the Old Testament is all prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, those are all prophets. Now, who can raise your hand and tell me, what did I say prophets get to do? Oh, I love the hands popping up. Pray to God. Prophets get to pray to God. Raise your hand if you pray. Good job. Everybody has their hand up. Okay, hands down. Yep. I need your eyes on me. Who can raise their hand and tell me what is this?
A phone.
Good job. It's a cell phone. And I can put this in my pocket. And I can go out, I can walk around, or I can go for a drive. And if I need to make a call, I can do it right there, can I? I can just turn on the phone and make a phone call. Wherever I am, as long as I have a signal, I can pray. I can call. Ah, you guys know where I'm going with this already. Okay, I can call. And everywhere I am, if someone wants to call me, they can call me on this, and the phone rings and I can answer it. Now, before you guys were born, all our phones were attached to the wall. They were tethered. So if you want to make a phone call, you had to sit in one place. You didn't get to go anywhere. If you're on your car, you couldn't make any phone calls. Unless you had a really long cable. Yep. Really long cable. Okay? So you couldn't go anywhere. And no one could call you if you were out and about at the grocery store or somewhere else. But by God's grace, in the advancements of technology, now we have phones where we can carry them anywhere. And there's a lot of things that we can do by God's grace because He's blessing us, His people. But what I want you to remember is, we can call somebody anywhere. Okay? Now, application is, when you pray, do you only pray at home? Do you only pray at church? Who can raise their hand and tell me, where can we pray?
Netherlands.
You can pray in the Netherlands, too, and they need it over there, don't they? Where else can you pray?
Everywhere,
even the Netherlands, yes. And that's your homework while you're gone, is to pray all the time, okay? God's Word says pray unceasingly. Pray all the time. You can go to God whenever you want, whenever you need to pray. Even when you don't need to pray, you need to pray. And you can pray to God all times and all places. You don't have to worry about a signal, whether or not you get reception. You can go straight to God because of Jesus and because of the Holy Spirit. And boys and girls, that is a great thing. The God who made you, the God who gives you life right now, the God who blesses you every day, you can talk to Him in prayer. And you can say, thank you, God. Help me serve you. Help me love you. Help me obey you. Okay? So let's do that right now. Will you pray with me? Please fold your hands. Close your eyes and please repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us and saving us in your Son, Jesus. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to love you by obeying you and praying to you all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, you can get back to your seats. Now, as mentioned, the prophet's privilege, as the Lord described of Abraham, is to pray to God. And you'll rightly note, in the Bible, it's not just prophets who pray. We also have priests who pray. We have kings who pray. Ezra prayed and he was a priest. Solomon prayed and he was a king. They can pray too. But what is different, and this has to do with the maturity, this has to do with that third stage, is what's different about the prophetic prayer is what a prophet can say to God. Prophets get special privileges on what they say to God. Moses exercised prophetic privileges when he persuaded God to not judge Israel because of the golden calf. Moses persuaded God. Now this may shake your Reformed theology a little bit, but in a sense, Moses changed God's mind. Right? He changed his mind by exercising prophetic privileges. Another example we'll find in Amos 7, verses 1 through 6. The God promising judgment, Amos is talking to him. Amos 7, 1 through 6, this is what the sovereign Lord showed me. He was preparing swarms of locusts after the king's share had been harvested, and just as the second crop was coming up. Locusts is a tool of judgment, so God's promising judgment. When they had stripped the land clean, I cried out, Moses the prophet cried out, Sovereign Lord, forgive! How can Jacob survive? He is so small. So the Lord relented. This will not happen, the Lord said. This is what the Sovereign Lord showed me. The Sovereign Lord was calling for judgment by fire. It dried up the great deep and devoured the land. Then I cried out, Sovereign Lord, I beg you, stop. How can Jacob survive? He is so small. This will not happen either, the Sovereign Lord said. God showing Amos a future judgment, two types of future judgment. Amos calls out, God, please don't do it. It hasn't happened yet. Please don't do it. And God says, I won't. This will not happen, Amos. Amos, a prophet, was privileged to speak to God. Amos, a prophet, offered God his opinion. Amos offered God requests. Lest you think that Amos was some biblical scholar who taught at the local seminary. He was not. Boys and girls, anyone know what Amos' job was? Anybody know? He was a prophet, yes. What else was he? Amos was a farmer. By the grace of God and the work of the Spirit, Amos had knowledge and understanding. Amos graduated unto wisdom. Now Amos the farmer had prophetic privilege to speak to Almighty God and change his mind. You heard this morning from 1 Kings 22 about the prophet Micaiah. A prophet who clearly wasn't shy about speaking truth to power. King Ahab, an unrighteous king, one who did not rule with wisdom, was seeking prophetic counsel on going to war with Jehoshaphat. And all of Ahab's yes-men prophets said, good, go do it, sir. You got him. But Micaiah, he feared the Lord. He didn't fear the king. He feared Almighty God. And his answer to Ahab shows the power and the privilege of a prophet. 1 Kings 22, again, 19 to 23. Micaiah continued, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the hosts of heaven standing around him on his right and his left. Micaiah was in heaven. He saw all the hosts of heaven before the throne of God. Is that a privilege? And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacking remote Gilead and going to his death there? So the Lord's looking for a way to punish Ahab. Who will do it? Who will entice him to go to war? One suggested this and another that. So they're bringing suggestions to Almighty God. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. By what means, the Lord asked. I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets, he said. You will succeed in enticing him. Go and do it. So now the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of these prophets of yours, Ahab. The Lord has decreed disaster for you. Micaiah, in heaven, in the company of the Lord and his spirits, they were all counseling God on what to do. And that's the rub. They were all counseling God. Just like Moses. Just like Amos, the privilege of the prophet is to approach Almighty God with prayer requests and suggestions. You might be thinking, okay, we get that, we can see it, it's clear, but what does this have to do with knowledge, understanding. And then wisdom. How is this the third stage of development? If one has the privilege to offer suggestions to God, they ought to be good suggestions. If He's perfectly holy, perfectly just, and perfectly wise, He will only do what is consistent with His perfect will. He's not going to answer immature or sinful suggestions. He's not going to answer requests that are in direct opposition to His will. So the privilege to approach Almighty God is a good thing, but you have to come with something good in response. Something true. Something right. As the redeemed, brothers and sisters, we all have that privilege to approach the holy throne of God. In Christ, we all are privileged to speak to Him in prayer. Because of God's righteous sending of the Spirit, all those in Christ can pray and make suggestions to God. If you have the Holy Spirit, you can make suggestions to God. For Joel prophesied, "It will come about that I, the Lord, will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." God says, "I'll pour my Spirit so they all can prophesy. I will pour out my Spirit so we all can become prophets." The Apostle Peter tells us this was fulfilled at Pentecost. This began at Pentecost, which we'll celebrate next Lord's Day. All those in Christ have the privilege of being a prophet. That means every single one of you can approach God in prayer. It's a high privilege. It's a glorious privilege. And He gives it all to all of us in Christ. We heard on Thursday, as we celebrate the Ascension, that Jesus Christ is King and He rules over creation. And God the Father has put all things under His feet. But it also says in God's Word that He rules through His people. He rules the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we must, by faith, exercise our rule with wisdom. We must be wise as we rule over creation. And this ties, brothers and sisters, this ties directly into prayer. Our prayers must be wise. Our prayers must be true. Our prayers must be biblical. They must be consistent with God's will. If we pray only for our selfish desires, only for needs, and not His kingdom, it won't answer. It's not consistent with His will. If we pray contrary to His word, God won't answer. The privilege of the prophet is for all, but must be received by faith. Must be received in maturity. Now you older saints in the congregation, even those of you who might be turning 80, your days of work in the church are not over. Okay, so this is a privilege for all. But especially for the mature, you gray heads. Just because you might not be able to teach Sunday school anymore, just because you might not be able to work at the Watertown banquet, doesn't mean you're done serving the church. Doesn't mean you're still alive just to put your feet up and ride it out. We need you, as the older saints, the mature saints, to continue to offer prayer. Offer true prayer. Offer biblical prayer. Offer wise prayer. Yes, make suggestions to God. You have that privilege in Christ Jesus. And as we look around us, and we see the evil that's in this world, if it upsets you so much, who has the power to change it? God. Have you asked Him? Have you suggested to Him that He end it? If so, how often? How often do you exercise this privilege to talk to God in prayer? Because He's given us this privilege, and it is a privilege. He wants us to take advantage of it. He wants to see that we really mean it. So one prayer, one day a week, He wants to see if we really mean it. Will we be unceasing in our prayer? Will we be fervent in our prayer? It would be like the old woman, who the judge just wanted to get off his back. Fine, I'll give her what she wants, so he'll keep her quiet. That's an unjust judge. We worship a completely true and just holy God. If we're fervent with our prayers, will He answer them? He wants to see if we live by faith. He wants to see if we care about this creation He has entrusted to us, that He's given us to rule over. So brothers and sisters, I exhort you this day, be mature in the faith. Grow in your knowledge and understanding. Grow in wisdom and discernment. And exercise the privileges we all have as prophets. Don't just expect a handful in here who are quote-unquote prayer warriors, they'll handle all the prayer. I'm too busy with other things. We all have that privilege. And especially you older saints, we need you to pray more and more and more fervently. And then pray those requests and those suggestions that honor and glorify Him for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us go to Him now in prayer and thank Him for His Word. Will you pray with me? O God, King of glory, who hast